Psalm 51, if you got your Bible. And if you don't have it, you can just listen to me. I got the right one. I promise you I do. Psalm 51. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. We're going to read a long passage of Scripture. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about a word you don't hear much of anymore. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In verse 5, he says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou art God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You know what he's talking about? David had sinned. David had sinned with Bathsheba. And David was now repenting. The word's not used, but that's what it is when you ask for such things. It's repentance. It's turning from one direction to go another. Now he's turned from his sinful self, and he's turning back to God. And he's trying to get his heart right. It's a change of heart and mind. It's when you say God's right and I'm wrong. And he's having a change of mind. And now he's turning around, and that's called repentance. That's a different direction. Now, you don't hear this much anymore, that word repentance. Not many people talk about repentance. But in David's mind, he thought, I've got to do something. I've got to get back right with God. I've got to get close to God. I've got to do something. I can't just stay here in this mess with a broken heart and discouraged and defeated, and I have sinned, and I admit my sin, and I knew what I was doing when I did it, but I'm turning back to God, and I'm not going to live this way. That's repentance. Now, I want to tell you a few things about repentance. Number one, it's what you had to do to get saved. You had to turn from your sinful self and turn to the sinless Savior. You had to admit you were wrong and He was right. You had to admit there was a change that was needed. You could not keep going this way and end up in heaven. And then you had to change directions. Now, I know salvation is not by works. It's by faith and it's by grace. I know that. But you're going to have to turn around and receive it. Amen. He says many have received Him. And look, if you're lost, you can't keep going the same direction, thinking the way you think and being the way you are and go to heaven. You're going to have to repent before you can be saved. You're going to have to come to a day in your life where you look up and you say, God, I'm just like David. I have sinned. I was born a sinner. I can't help myself. I need some help. And God, I'm turning to you, and if I'm ever going to have joy, and if I'm ever going to have peace, it's going to come from you, because I've tried everything else and it don't work. God, give me that joy of the Lord. Amen? And then maybe you got saved, and maybe after time goes along, some of you may be there today. You got cold on God. You didn't stay in the book. You didn't stay on your knees. You didn't stay in church like you ought to. You quit witnessing. You quit worrying about what was right and what was wrong. And now God's brought something into your life and you realize, I've got to go back. I've got to turn around. I've got to change my mind. The judgment of God is on me. I've got to get back to God. I have no joy. I have no peace that I once had. And God, I need you to restore me the joy of my salvation. You ever notice how there's a lot of people that are saved that have no joy? That's because joy and sin can't live in the same heart. And see, everybody's afraid to tell them, look, you need to get right with God. You need to turn around. You've gone the wrong way. You took a wrong turn somewhere, and somebody has loved you enough to tell you that. And listen, the prophet of God looked at David and said, thou art the man. You're the one that sinned. And you're the one that's got to get it right with God. And your mama can't do it, and your daddy can't do it, and your husband can't do it, and your wife can't do it. You've got to get right with God. And then you have a change of mind. Man, they're telling me the truth. I need to turn to God. That's called repentance in the Bible. Now, Luke 13:3, Jesus is talking to religious people, and he tells them about the Tower of Siloam that fell on some people, and all of them said God did that because they were wicked. And he said, you ain't no better than they are. In verse 3, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then it's so important, he goes again in verse 5, and he said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you'll all likewise perish. Now, repentance is the lost doctrine of the church. Now, I know the love of God is what brings men to repentance. Don't get me wrong. Because we know what we deserve, and we know He doesn't give us what we deserve, so we turn to Him for salvation. I know that. But until somebody tells you that, you don't know that. See? And I'm afraid it's a lost doctrine in the church, which is also goes along with hell, because if you don't preach hell and you don't preach repentance, people don't get saved. Now, they'll come to church and they'll give money and they'll dress up and do whatever you want to do, but until they repent, they're under, and we talked about it in Sunday school, they're under the wrath of God. And somebody's got to preach this. Somebody's got to tell people this. Let me show you what David did. Number one, he became sorry for his sins. Look at verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He became sorry for his sins, or he wouldn't have said that. Amen? There's a lot of sinners, a lot of Christian sinners that are not sorry for their sins. Well, it's my right, they say. Or I have the right to. Or you don't know who I am and all this stuff. Well, let me tell you something. I know who you are. You're just like David. You're a sinner, and every once in a while you need to ask forgiveness. Amen? Or you're not going to have joy. You're always going to be in a church fight. You're always going to be in a family fight. You're always going to have trouble getting along with people because you don't have any joy. So therefore, something has replaced your joy, and it's called sin. David recognized it. Look at verse 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David confessed his sin. He acknowledged it. He said, I've done this. I have sinned. I've transgressed. And it's against you, God. I know that woman thinks it's her, and I know that man thinks it's him, and I know that crowd down there at work, they think it's them, but I didn't sin against them. I'm not living for them, God. I sinned against you, and you only have I sinned against, and they were just involved in my sin. That's all. Let me tell you something. You've got to get to the point, if you're going to get right with God, you're going to have some repentance, and you're going to have to admit you sin, and you're going to have to admit it every time you sin, because if you hold back on that, you better keep short accounts with God, because God keeps short accounts, and He will put you where He put David, down on your knees weeping and crying out to God. He done lost a baby, and because of his sin. Now you listen to me. He says it right there. God's long-suffering. He's full of mercy. But if you want the joy of the Lord, you want the peace that passes all understanding, you're going to have to stay right with God.
Amen.
And God's a holy God. I had a man tell me one day, he said, I don't confess my sins every day. I don't sin every day. I said, you just did. I mean, that's sinful pride. That's sinful pride. Just because you didn't rob a bank don't make you a sinner. Amen? Half of you sin every time you get in the car. I know I do. Bling, 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 Yankees. Blah, blah, blah. Handicap tags. Some people don't need driver's license. Help them, Lord. Get off the road. Ebenezer, over-medicated road. How many of y'all ever drive on Ebenezer Road? You ain't. Hey, it's hard to stay right with God and drive on Ebenezer Road. They riding around like this. They've been to the doctor and got another medication. They're driving under the influence. Amen. They're driving while impaired. Amen. They just as drunk as if they'd drunk a pint of vodka. Amen. And here's somebody trying to live for God behind them. Now look in my mirror, there's 50 other people behind me. I go home and say, Lord, forgive me. I need more patience. Lord, forgive me. You put them in front of me to give me patience. It ain't working right now, Lord. Help me. You lying devil. You say you don't sin. You need to acknowledge your sin, or you're not going to have any joy with the Lord. You men, sometimes you need to look up to heaven and say, I do. It's my wife's birthday, I have to say this. Well, it ain't today, is it? The 29th, it's tomorrow. It's her birthday, I have to say this. Lord, forgive me. I don't always talk right to my wife. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Ladies, don't get too happy. You need to look up and turn around every once in a while and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't talk right to my husband. Yeah. Amen. Well, got quiet on that one, didn't it? But see, before you'll do that, you have to get to a place where you realize you've sinned against a holy God, and it's Him only that you've sinned against. Amen. Because He wrote the rules. Amen? Yes. Now, David, he got there. He made a confession. Look at verse 4. The second part of that verse 4, real quick. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, verse 4. He said, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, Lord, I acknowledge my attitude toward you has not been right, and you have been right the whole time. You see, when you disagree with God, you're automatically wrong. And your heart's wrong when you do that. And so what you got to do, you got to be contrite for that sin. You've got to admit it, and you got to feel bad about it. See, our problem is in the day that we live in, people don't feel bad about their sins. Even church members and so-called Christians do not feel bad about their sins. Amen? Amen. You've got to have a contrite heart. You've got to, in your heart, feel like I've sinned against a holy God, and He is right to judge me, and He is right to condemn me for what I've done, and He's right to chastise me for what I've done, and I'm wrong and He's always right. Amen. David did. See, the hardest thing about getting people to stay right with God is getting them to admit they're wrong. Amen. They have no shame. People don't have a shame anymore. Right. If you don't believe it, go to Walmart. Right. Lord forbid you wouldn't want to go to the beach. They have no shame. Amen. 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 Let me tell you something. Our nation, can I come down here? Our nation, our churches have gotten rid of the contrite heart. See, it's all about worship now. It's all about worship. And don't get me wrong, but the real worship you're supposed to do is by yourself with God. Most of it's about entertainment and having a good time. And let me tell you something. You can't be entertained and be having a good time and have a contrite heart. You're going to have to get to the place where there ain't nowhere to look but up. And have a broken heart over what you've done, and then call on a holy God, realizing you're unholy, and feeling like you shouldn't even be in the presence of a holy God, and that's a contrite heart. We're living in a time where there's no shame for sin anymore. They just go right on, and if you don't like it, they'll find them a church that won't criticize it. Amen? I better go on. It's getting quiet on that one too. Did you look at verse 4? Look at verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Did you know what he's saying? He's saying, I have sinned against you and nobody else, and you saw it when I did it. See, we have this thing that we think God's asleep or something. Or either this, we think he sees everybody else's sin, but he don't see ours. Guy walking down the street, you know, and he's all tore up and nasty and dirty, been living under a bridge somewhere, and we say, dirty, rotten sinner, drunk, he needs to get right with God. And it's true, he does need to get right with God. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to look at yourself every once in a while. Hey, it's just by the grace of God, you're not living under that bridge. Amen? You hadn't arrived yet. You ain't got no angel wings. You don't have a halo. Amen? All have sinned. And boy, David admit. Look at verse 7, though. In verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop. You know what a hyssop is. It was a bunch of little pieces of something. I guess we call it broom straw, you know. And he put that in the blood of the lamb. And you remember putting it over the doorpost. Really in the shape of a cross. Top, middle, side, middle, side, middle. And he said, Lord, I need you to purge me. Lord, I need you to purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, he recognized his sin. He recognized it was against God. He recognized it was going to hinder his relationship to a holy God. And he confessed his sin, and he asked forgiveness. That's another lost art. Asking forgiveness. When's the last time you asked somebody to forgive you? And by the way, he said, don't even bring your offering to the altar and you got an altar against somebody and you haven't asked them to forgive you, because God ain't accepting your offering. I don't care if you do sing in the praise band. I don't care if you sing in the real choir. I don't care if you give thousands of dollars a month to the church. If you have not asked people to forgive you, how can you ask God to forgive you? You didn't just sin against him, you sinned against them too. Amen? Well, thank you, Billy. I know what y'all doing. Y'all sitting there thinking all the names you need to hunt up. Amen? And then I want you to notice verse 10. Verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Did you know he was getting tired of himself? He was tired of his old dirty heart. And until you get that way, you're not going to seek the forgiveness of God. Until you get tired of your sin, and boy, a lot of people don't get tired of it, see. Boy, I go see people, their family's in a mess. And I want to say, if you'd quit drinking this liquor, doing this dope, or doing this, your family wouldn't be getting involved in all this junk that you're dragging them into. But they don't see anything wrong with theirself. They won't blame it on everybody else. The government. It's the government. It's Donald Trump. That's who it is. Amen. Amen. But he saw himself as a dirty heart. Now, look at this. Look at this. Think about this. Look at verse 10. He saw himself had a bad spirit. Now, you go ahead. You do whatever you want to, but I can tell when you got a bad spirit. I've had people come in this church with a bad spirit, and I was trying to preach and encourage people and be a blessing to people, and that stinking bad spirit ruined the whole service. Who's that preacher think he is? Talking to me like that. Well, I didn't know I was talking to you, but if I was, put it in the wagon and ride with it. Amen?
Amen.
We'll just vote him out of here. Help yourself. I don't think it'll work. But a bad spirit, it will destroy not only your church, it will destroy your home, and in the end, it will destroy you.
Amen.
Talking about ulcers. Danny, you don't have to pray for that guy to get ulcers. He's already got them. He's got a bad spirit. Amen? You can't be mean and hateful all the time and not be sick. You'll shorten your life that way. But David realized, I've sinned against God and I've had a bad spirit because I wouldn't admit that I was wrong and he was right. Sometimes people come to me, they'll say, Pastor so-and-so got mad at you Sunday, and I think, they didn't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman.
Amen. Come on.
But they said you was talking about him. I didn't know it. Half time, y'all wouldn't tell me stuff like that. I wouldn't know I was talking about you. I think good of you right now. You come tell me that stuff. Wow, I didn't know that. I watch out now. He had a bad spirit. And his spirit was, he had not confessed his sin. He was not sorry for his sin. He was the king. And who did that prophet think he was, pointing his finger at him and telling him he was the man that was causing all the trouble? Well, I've seen them come and go. And I point my finger and they jump up. Oh, who does he think he is? I ain't nobody. That's a double negative. I got two teachers sitting right beside me. That's the way I am. I can't help it. I have a good vocabulary. I just don't ever use it. But if you don't get the right spirit, the Holy Spirit will not help you. Because see, he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We don't. See, we'll feel sorry for you and we'll think that you're going through all this stuff because the devil's attacking you. But it might not be the devil. It might be the Holy Spirit that's doing that work to try to get you on your knees. Don't give the devil too much credit when it comes to a child of God. He can only go as far as God would let him. It may be the Holy Ghost of God. The preacher looked at Ananias and said, you crooked, lying, hypocrite of a church member. Behold, the feet of the men that's going to carry you out of here. And he dropped dead. His wife come in a little bit later, Miss Pretentious. And look what we did. He said, you lying hypocrite, hussy. Look at the same feet that carried your husband out of here. You're dead. Now, in today's church, we'd blame that on the devil. But see, your bad spirit will hinder the Holy Spirit, which will hurt you and hurt everybody else around you. I better go on. Amen. Well, just let me put this in there. I had two deacons one time that had a bad spirit. And every time we had a deacons meeting, they wanted to fuss and fight. One of them jumped up one time and he was wanting to hit me. I had never done nothing to him to make him want to hit me. I don't know me. I'm nice and loving and gentle. And he jumped up. And old Joe Hammaker, some of y'all remember him, he jumped between me and that deacon. He said, to get to my preacher, you're going to have to get me.
Amen.
He had fists that big around. He was probably 78 when he said that. Let me tell you something. It ain't my spirit that's hurting you. It's your spirit that's hurting you. Amen. Come on, help me. Now I want you to notice this. And I got to hurry. We done run out of time. Some of y'all looking for that buffet already. Listen. He didn't want a wrong spirit. He didn't want a dirty heart. So you know what it brought? Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It brought fear on him that God was going to take his presence off of his life. Let me tell you what you don't want. And I've been there. You don't want God to remove his spirit, his presence. You don't want to be there. You don't want to feel empty and cold. And when you pray, you feel like it hadn't got past the ceiling. You don't want God to take His Holy Spirit from you. Let me tell you something. If you keep living in rebellion, you will not repent, or you not will not get saved, God will withhold His Spirit from you. Now, if you're saved, He's not casting you off, and He's really not deserting you. You're just not going to know He's there anymore. That's like a rebellious child. Some of us have had rebellious children, and we didn't run them off. It's just we didn't do nothing for them. We didn't take them to Carowinds anymore or do anything like that. We withheld the love that we wanted to give them, because you can't love people in their sin. You can't love them into doing right if they got sin in their heart. All they want to do is sin. And he saw that and he said, God, please, please, God, don't take your presence from my life. I'll tell you what. You think, hey, the sad thing is most people that saved, that he's took their presence from, don't even know it. Until they get in the hospital and the prayer ain't getting through. Or they're down there at the funeral home and the comfort ain't coming. And then they called the folks down at the church and they said, y'all send somebody down here. And we walk into the room and they feel something they hadn't felt in a long time. They feel the comforting presence of a holy God. And David saw that. And look, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God since we've been saved. But we don't need to be rebellious. We need to get convicted about the thing and repent, turn to God and say, God, I don't like being this way. I'd rather be poor living under a bridge with your presence than living in the biggest house in town and have all the money in the world and have all the friends. I'd rather be living by myself in the woods somewhere. Please don't take your presence from me if you ever had his presence. Boy, I've went out in the woods before and I'd get to praying. I'd say, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is the God of Paul and Silas? Where are you, God? And then he says, if you get this right, you'll get me. Amen? Amen? Listen, he was sick. He was sick of being wrong, and he was sick of having that fear. Look at verse 12. I got to hurry. 12a, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Now he didn't say my salvation. He said thy salvation. Now see, what you think is joy sometimes, and what God thinks is joy is two different things. Because your flesh will lie to you, and God knows how to give you real joy. Amen. And by the way, if you're looking for joy in anybody on planet Earth, you're not going to get it. If you're looking for joy out of some experience on planet Earth other than getting right with God and staying close to Him, you're not going to have any joy. And you're going to be looking for it all your life. You ever heard anybody say this? And I know you have heard people say this. I'm just trying to find myself. Well, let me tell you. I know who you are. You're a sinner. You're going to die and go to hell. You need a Savior. And you're not going to be happy and have joy until you get right with God. That's when you'll find yourself. Amen? Amen. I've got to hurry. Of all people in the world, we Christians ought to be joyous people. Boy, we go to church, you know, and people testify. And I know people have hard times. We all do. You do. You don't ever say nothing about it. And they'll get up and they'll cry. And I'm sympathetic, you know, and I'm going through this and I'm going through that and I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And sometimes I think, well, I feel worse now than I did when I came to church today. If I hadn't heard that, I'd have felt a whole lot better. And we know who their doctors are and what medications they take and how many operations they've had and how many husbands they've had or how many wives they've had. Why don't somebody just stand up and say, like old Larry, the trash man at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, mentally retarded, wore his trash man uniform to church, clean, and he couldn't talk plain. He'd say, preacher, I just want to say I love Jesus and I love you. And he'd say, Larry didn't have nothing on planet Earth. He had very few friends, but yet every testimony, Larry, who had no high school diploma, who had no college education, who had no wife, who had no children, who had no big car, big house, who hung on the back of a trash truck back when they were real trash men and picked up 55-gallon drums full of trash and dumped them over in that truck. I had arms that big around like steel. Never complained. Preacher, I just want to say I love Jesus and I love you. And he'd sit down. Boy, he had the joy of the Lord riding on the back of a trash truck. And you live in a nice house and drive a nice car and got a nice job. And you got people around you that love you and they try to help you. And look, you don't have the joy. You know why? You didn't have the same thing he had. He had the Holy Ghost of God in him, inspiring him. There was nothing between him and the Savior. That's why he says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Listen, look at verse 12 again. Look at the second part real quick. I'm going too long, I know. And uphold me with thy free spirit. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Father, I'm tired of being weak. we were weak when it found us. We might have thought we weren't, but we were weak. And He saved us. And He lifted us up out of the miry clay. And He set our feet on a solid rock. And He established our going forth. And now He upholds us with His right hand of righteousness. We're no longer weak. But we get out of God's will and we sin and we won't repent. We won't ask God to forgive us. And we won't turn around and go back where we ought to go, wherever we left it. And we get weak. And God draws His strength off of our life. And where we used to pray and see things done, it don't get done anymore. And where people used to listen to us, they don't listen to us anymore. And where people used to honor us, they don't honor us anymore. Because now we're weak and we need to pray and say, God, something's in me that makes me weak. Friday I went to help Charity and them move. Of course, this is who they call when they need washing machines and heavy stuff moved. You don't feel that. Yeah. I was already like this. By the time I got through, I was so sick I barely could drive home. And I laid in the bed, missed my own mama's birthday party, laying up sick. I was weak. Let me tell you something. A sickness moves into your body, and the first thing it'll do is make you weak. Are y'all still with me? And a sickness moves in our soul and it'll make us spiritually weak. And there's a lot of sick Christians running around today that we live in. And the sad thing is, it's like AIDS or something. They don't even know they're sick. They don't realize they're weak. Because they've been that way so long, they've grown accustomed to it. And David said, I'm tired of being weak. I want to be strong again. Don't you want to be a strong Christian? Don't you want to be a Christian that when you walk in the room, people don't like you? Say, preach, why would you say that? Now, I know I'm old, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's the only one that comes to my mind. He'd walk into a room like this. He was muscle-bound. He couldn't hardly move his head. He had so many muscles in his neck, and he'd walk into a room. Every man in that room hated him. They would go. Hated him. You know why? He was strong. They were weak. And same thing in Christian life. A real child of God filled with the Spirit, with the joy of the Lord, walks into a church and everybody says, I don't want that kind of fanatic right here. They make me look bad. You can walk into a bunch of the devil's crowd. And they'll say, woo, there's something about that guy, something about that gal. I ain't messing with them. God's on them. Amen? He said, I'm tired of being weak, Lord. Help me. Don't you just get tired of being spiritually weak? Man, I got to quit. The corral out there is handing out food right now. Listen. So, here it is. Listen. He surrendered. And I'm going to go fast, so listen. He surrendered to be a teacher of transgressors in verse 13. He surrendered to be a soul winner in verse 13. He surrendered to be a proclaimer of praises to God. And because of that repentance, true repentance always brings results. Things changed. He didn't have to go to a class and learn 12 steps to get the change. He took one step. And things changed. Immediately things changed. And I'll tell you, he became renewed in his strength. He became renewed. He said, verse 15, he said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Immediately, he went from a whining, weak believer, turned to God, repented of his sins, God renewed his spirit, gave him back his power, and he was no longer weak. Now he was a proclaimer of truth and a practicer of truth. Now, I don't have time. But he got his joy back. Did you know that real revival will never come to us Christians until we get repentance right? And they dancing all over town right now. Well, that crowd done gone home. But they danced all over town today, and they were flicking their beak and shining their phones, you know, and had the lights turned down, and the lights was flashing, had strobe lights and all that. And boy, they was having a good time. And 99% of them left the building with their heart full of sin. They got no more power with God now than they had when they walked in.
Come on, yep.
And some of you may be the same way today. And you sang, "Brethren, we have met to worship," and you hadn't worshiped God in so long. We need to get bunches together and start finding some camp meetings again. Old-fashioned, hell, fire, and damnation, repent, get right with God, or get out, camp meetings. Amen. His brother, his daddy and his daddy's brother took me, the first ones I'd ever been. Those people was shouting and hollering and crying up there in Matthews, that old tent, that old camp meeting, Sister Betty, they used to have up there in Matthews. Maybe you remember the camp meeting in Matthews up there in that area? I can't remember. I couldn't take you back to it now. Indian Trail, that was it, Indian Trail. People jumping pews, man. They was walking. Don't worry, I ain't going to do it. Don't worry, I ain't going to do it. They ain't fastened down. They're not fastened down. If I go up on the back of that, we all going down. It'll stop right here. Man, they running and shouting, and woo, woo! And I looked right. I was so scared. I was scared. 24 years old by then. I was scared. I'd never seen nothing like that in my life. I'd been to drunken parties like you wouldn't believe, and I'd never seen what was going on in there. Man, they was shouting, running the aisles. One be running that way, another be running that way. They'd be running laps around the pews. Man, they was screaming and hollering and crying. And I'm sitting there saying, "Lord, Lord, I don't know if this is of God, but it sure is good." And then they go to the regular church and people says, "Well, that's of the flesh. That's just, oh, shut up. If you get your heart right with God, you'd have a little joy too." Amen? Amen? Better than getting drunk. That whole crowd used to be drunk. Now they're drunk in the spirit. Amen? Look, see, we got to get back to that. Get back to true repentance, and it'll turn our nation around. It'll turn our churches upside down, and it'll turn our lives upside down, and it'll turn our families upside down, and husbands and wives will get saved, and children will get saved, and grandchildren will get saved. The boss man, Brother Billy, will get saved. I knew that would get one out of you. You love your neighbor again. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I don't know how to end this thing.